Chilli Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now, the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck Ochelli.
June 10, 2022, as I go live here at Ochelli.com Radio. But I know you guys catch these things at other times and other places and all that good stuff, so welcome to it. It is Friday, but if you're hearing us on June 10th, that Friday, just after 8 p.m. Eastern, right now, then that means we're live. And while we're live, we are going to take calls. Now, last week, there was supposed to be a setup, and I totally forgot about it until a little while before airtime, that there was going to be this debate, argument, something was going to happen between, occasional guest and alleged listener, Glenn Vikland, to the show. And, of course, my co-host here on Friday nights, B. Pete. They were supposed to have an argument, a debate, settle things, or maybe Glenn just wanted to correct B. Pete about certain things. I don't know. There was some rumbling in the chat room last week and all that, and I said, well, fine, let's do that on air if you want. And I forgot about it, as I said, all the way up until today, and somebody else reminded me via Skype. There's this little group on Skype. And, somebody said, well, what are you doing? Are you going to have Glenn on? What is the thing for phone calls? Well, I don't know, because I forgot. And now that I remembered, thanks to your help there, actually it was Vance who helped me to remember, I contacted Glenn through the usual way I'm in contact with him and did not hear back. So I don't know if he forgot, too. So here we are on a Friday. The phone lines are going to be open. Now, if Glenn comes around and remembers or shows up at 9 o'clock because he thought that was the right time, we'll get on with that, too. So we'll just make it up as we go along here on a Friday. And you can call in 319-527-5016. Now, I do have international lines that are connected to that as well and all that good stuff. And thankfully, somebody helped me keep the phone lines this week because I got a sudden little bill and wasn't able to pay it. But I had to go and ask a friend, can you help me pay it? And he did so. But kind of sad that donations are down, memberships are down, Patreons are dropping. I don't know. Either I suck or everybody is feeling the squeeze, or maybe it's a combination of both. Little column A, little column B. So it is what it is. Money is not coming in. And I had to keep the phone lines on. So they are on. 319-527-5016. Or, you know, if Glenn shows up or anybody wants to show up via Skype, I am Charles.Ochelli, and you can send me a message and I'll bring you on to the show myself. See, I'll call you if you message me on Skype and you tell me you want to be on the show. And those rules will apply as we go to do Aaron Franz's shows later, which start at 10 p.m. Eastern. Same number, same connection. We'll get you on, but yeah. That's what's happening tonight. So 319-527-5016, that's the number to call. Charles.Ochelli on Skype. That's the way you can message me to get on the show. But otherwise, we're rolling, and B. Pete is with me. How you doing tonight, B. Pete?
Well, I'm doing good. It's been a productive day. I was able to get outside, enjoy doing some yard work for a while, and get off of I-95, where it's nothing but traffic all week long. I tell you, boy, that gets old after a while. I got three more years of it. Woo-hoo!
Well, look, any spot on I-95 is always busy. You know, that thing runs all up and down the East Coast. If you're not on the East Coast of America, you might not know that, but kind of fascinating. That used to be the direct corridor you take if you wanted to go anywhere from Jersey to Florida, and I'm pretty sure it runs all the way into New England. I-95.
We've got three, four years left on this job, and they've let some other jobs since then, so we're going to have probably a 100-mile stretch through the state that's under construction for widening. Hmm. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, and I'm already seeing in the chat room. Yeah, if Glenn shows up, I'm going to bring him on, but I was not aware as to whether he was going to be live or not tonight, like I said. But if he does show up, we'll accommodate him, and we'll also accommodate anybody who calls in, as I said. Crap, did I even set the phone lines properly? I got to check that real fast. It's been, yes, I did. And it does appear as though we have a call, by the way. So
good.
We'll take calls all the way up until then. Yeah, so you were talking, though, really quickly about I-95, your work, and you got a few more years of having to travel that corridor, which is busy anywhere in the U.S., I assure you. or anywhere it is in the U.S. It's only in the eastern part of the country. But always fascinating, north to south it runs, like I said. And, yeah. Anyway, anything else go on besides the yard work? You got some stuff accomplished? I mean, what else is up? Anything?
Well, that's about it. It's been, you know, 2 weeks. We've got a little bit of rain. We need more. We're in a drought badly. And that's one thing I do on this job is try to take care of all the environmental permitting and things that have to be done. And it's hard growing grass in a drought, trust me. And I got 20 miles of it, too. It's been interesting, but jobs like this always are. There's just so much going on. We're building or rebuilding 8 bridges, I believe it is. No, 9 bridges in a 17-mile stretch. So, but we're doubling everything. We're going from 2 lanes north-south to 4 lanes north and south and raising all the bridges above tractor-trailer height. I don't know why. When they originally built this highway, it was much lower when the bridge crosses, and all the trucks hit them now, so... Well, we're going to fix all that.
Yeah, we'd have to look back to see if that was even necessary back then, right? Because how big was the truck when they built these things? These are old highways.
Yeah, 95's been around for a while, and it's the past couple hurricanes have affected it in a few spots, too. So that was another reason for them doing this project, raising the bridges and raising the main road out of the, hopefully, what will be the floodplain in future events. So a lot of work going on. Well, it's been a good job. It's been an interesting job, especially watching these structures go up.
Right. Well, all up and down I-95, like you said, you know, they have had to expand lanes or, you know, elevate stuff because of different things that have come up. I mean, it's just, it's one of those things that's always a work in progress. And in some places, it is only 2 lanes. It's literally just the 2 lanes, one going one way, one going the other way, which is very odd considering how congested it can get. I don't know if that bottlenecks traffic or not. That's probably why they're having you expand it. But you know, and again, well, it's always been a trucking lane too. Yeah.
I would take a penny for every vehicle that just drives through our section in a day. I could retire.
Well, there you have it. So look, we do have phone calls. We have no plans. I mean, we could talk about the hearings yesterday, but I didn't watch them, to be honest with you. I did.
But it wasn't entertaining. You could tell they hired somebody to put this thing together.
Right.
As a production to tell a story, it's amazing. But
well, you kind of have to if you're going to televise it. I mean, you can't just do it the old-fashioned way and actually just show the hearings. I mean, you do that and people are going to fall asleep on you. I mean, there's too much out there on Netflix and stuff, you know.
And they're making claims that, I mean, I don't know how they'll be countered, because it's a it's a 9-member panel and there's 7 Democrats to 2 Republicans. So I don't know how the Republicans will get a voice. But, you know, they're saying things like 5 cops died that day. And 5 cops did not die that day. I mean, it's just stuff like that. But you talk about disinformation.
That's weird. I thought it was 2. I thought there was like 2. Didn't one like have a heart attack and then...
No, the guy that had the heart attack had a heart attack, late the very next day.
Ah, okay.
It wasn't in conjunction with what went on.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not trying to contradict you. I'm just saying in my mind, I vaguely remember this.
See, that's the thing, though. They're not getting into details about that. They're just, you know, talking about how bad Trump was, and it's all his fault, and he should go to jail, just like all the rest of them should go to jail.
Well, maybe so, but you got to build that case. I mean, so anyway, I'm sure I'll catch the highlights, and they're planning more. So, you know, we'll see what's next. Maybe they'll
carry this up to the midterms if they have to.
Well, they will.
They got left.
Well, they will. And you know when the Republicans are going to get their voice is immediately after the midterms, when everybody's sworn in, and then we start with the Hunter Biden battle, which is going to happen. Because
you're going to get that. You're going to get a Biden impeachment. You're going to get tell them what they're going to go. Hell, they'll go all the way back to Benghazi and try to.
They might. Yeah, I would not put it past them to go ahead and see if they can drag Hillary out of mothballs and, grill her once again. Why not?
Is it a good thing that they, you know, live in the past like that, or, because they're really not getting anything done?
But that's the whole thing about all this is I don't care if it's the Democrats or the Republicans trying to relitigate stuff. You didn't do anything about it at the time. Shut the hell up. Move on. I mean, seriously, that's how I feel about it.
When you're not in control of all, you know, both houses of Congress and the White House, it's kind of hard to get anything done.
Yeah, Unfortunately, though, we saw 2 years of Trump having control of both houses and didn't get a lot done. And now we've seen Biden have, you know, control of one house and, you know, a slim possibility of control of the other. And, yeah, equally not very much done. So I'm tired of that.
Except an economy going down the tubes.
Oh, yeah. Well,
our military, you know, people are running from the military left and right. And God knows, it's...
Well, I know, but
I don't know which is worse. Them not getting anything done and everything going to hell.
Oh, I know.
Or them trying or getting something done.
Well, see, that's the thing is, you know, they get something done and it's done badly or nothing. And, you know, going all the way, please, people running from the military. I remember I first started learning about people in the military needing food stamps to keep their homes going, you know, back when Bush was in. And frankly, I never thought of it that way. I thought, you know, things would be taken care of. I mean, you had the good access to... you know, the military stores if you were on a base here in the in country, right? And I thought to myself, gee, but no, I started finding out early 2000s, it was like, yeah, even military families were broke. And,
yeah, it depends on what state you're in and how many dependents you have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think whether you're getting housing, but there was a time, yeah, where a lot of people in service qualified for food stamps.
Yeah, but even the housing was starting to really suck. I mean, I knew some of these young guys who were like, you know, yeah, I got military housing, but come check it out. And some of it was nice, but some of it was also like, what is this? I mean, it looks like they took down, you know, like they decided to take over some rundown apartment buildings and hand them to the service guys. And I'm like... You can't do better than this? I don't know.
On-base housing is so old in a lot of these places.
Some of it. Yeah, it's horrible.
You know, if you're single in the military for what they're paying you, normally you're staying in a barracks on base. You might have a place in town. You know, you and a couple other guys go in, but above a certain rank. Now, if you're married, you know, they have to provide you with housing. And a lot of times it's either duplexes or apartments on post or small houses on post or something on the economy in the area. So,
yeah.
You know, there's a lot of house rentals and things like that where the lease is picked up by the military when they give their housing separate rats to these people.
Well,
but, then again, it depends on your rank, depends on how many kids you have, depends, you know, dependents and all that.
Yeah, but
it's
those,
old. It really needs some work.
Oh, yeah, and those on-base apartments are what I'm talking about mainly. They're a lot, you know, some of them are very nice, but there's way too many of them that are like, what kind of shape is this?
They've reached the point where it's, to be honest, to retrofit some of these older places is so expensive, it's easier just tear down and build new. But then again, you got to have Congress allocate the money for that. And we know that Congress on both sides don't give a damn about the military, you know, crazy.
Well, I don't know. They fund the hell out of certain things, but other things not so much.
Yeah, they'll fund, you know, the newest super secret stealth missile, but when it comes to housing for your members, it's, you know, it's one of the last things on the list.
Yeah,
veterans and accommodations for people that are in now, probably the two worst things that we need to take care of when it comes to the military.
Yeah, well, and there you go. So, like I said, people were kind of like, wow, I can't believe that this is the way, you know, I get handled. You know, and I'm like,
I mean, some people are really in for a shock. I mean, you know, they're used to living in a decent apartment and they decide to go in. They got a wife, a couple small kids, and they get stationed on a base and they're living in, you know, apartments that were converted from barracks back in 1947.
Yeah, that might be why some of them looked weird, but, you know, the only thing that was good on those bases is the security at the time that I was, you know, going and visiting people because it was like, wow, man, I you know, like you couldn't get in there if you were going to visit somebody. It was like this whole process, you know, you had to have your ID and they had to check and you had to be on a list and this kind of stuff. And they had gates and everybody's armed and you're like, wow, okay, well, at least you're well protected, you know, from the rest of us here, you know, in civilization. But other than that, it was kind of like weird. I mean, I knew a guy who went to, I'll tell you the truth about it, is that he went to go, let's just say one of the service guy's wives would be lonely a lot. I knew a guy who tried to solve that problem. And, you know, he'd go to visit her on base, and it was like every time they like would, it was like going through the TSA trying to get in there. which I found funny, and I started saying to him, you know, like, maybe they're doing that because they know the guy, and he's like, no, I ran across one of the guards that knew the guy and thought he was, you know, thought it was a good thing I was doing and going and visiting his wife. I said, oh, okay, popular gentleman, eh? You know, weird stuff like that, but still they ran him through the, you know, the checkpoints and, you know.
And 9/11 really changed things. I've told you before that when they had the Beirut barracks bombing back in the early 80s, I was in Germany, and that was the first time I ever saw a bayonet when I was in the Army. They issued them to us for a guard mount. Well, what the hell is this? Right. It's your bayonet. Well, we didn't cover that in basic. And, you know, it was kind of strange. We moved two armored personnel carriers and a tank up to the entrance just to keep vehicles from coming through the gates. And now, you know, you take a post like Fort Sam Houston down in San Antonio, and that's an open post. I don't know how they're handling security on that now, but you could be standing on post, walk across the street, and you're off post property in a neighborhood. You know, it was an open post. You drove through city streets. Next thing you know, you're driving through the middle of the base. It's kind of strange. So I don't know how they're handling that now.
Yeah, see, but that used to happen in Jersey where somebody would get lost and they'd end up on, like, I think it was Fort Monmouth. You could end up on really easy in, it's like Eatontown, New Jersey, I think. Somebody look it up if you want. But the thing is, you would accidentally drive on there. You'd get about a half mile and a military vehicle would stop you. Because you didn't have, you know, the right stickers on your car or whatever to be on the base. But it used to happen a lot, so it wasn't like a big deal. It was sort of like, yeah, you need to turn around and go back out of here. You're lost, okay, no problem. I don't know how it is in the days of GPS, but again, in the early 2000s, you know, it was like, oh, okay, look, you have wandered onto this base. So, meanwhile, let's go to the caller, because he might have something to say about all this, too. And, yeah, there we go. The man with the fan club, which I didn't get a status update on it this week, but how you doing, Jimmy James?
Jimmy James.
I'm doing all right. Kind of bummed out by that talk of Congress. Kind of bummed me out just hearing about it.
Sorry, man. You know, I don't even know what... I literally did not watch these hearings, and BP said he did. Did you watch any of the hearings?
No, there's no way I will watch it. It's on my list, like Titanic. We'll never watch it.
Ah, okay. No problem. Hey, everybody's got a lot of choices out there to make in their, you know, their viewing, so...
That's why we have 200-plus channels on cable.
There you go. So, anyways, man, what's on your mind tonight?
I was just going to tell you, don't take it personally that donations are down. I'm seeing people, they literally can't, they're having trouble getting food, feeding their families.
Yeah.
Times are very, very hard.
No, I know it. I'm one of them, as you well know. I've run out of money recently and, you know, at bad times for bunches of things. Whether it's a phone bill or anything else, I'm having trouble making my bills make sense here. What are you going to do? I know I'm not special. But anyway, it is what it is. Here we are. And still have not heard from Glenn Viklund, by the way, just for the listeners. So I don't know. Maybe he forgot, too. I know I did. So we're taking calls, as you can tell, from Jimmy James being on the line. 319-527-5016. Excuse me there. Yeah, I think you got enough of a story out of me about the whole punch in the face issue, right? So.
Yeah. I thought it was some like random dude did it or something.
Well, you see now, if it would have been something like that, it would have been a more exciting story. I would have had to get to it earlier in the week. It was just was a domestic issue. So. what are you going to do? Anyways, so what else is on your mind, man?
Nothing.
I always love when Jimmy James is thinking, the noises, his thought noises are the best. I actually want to snip him out of the show one day just to... use them and play them as sound effects, where he goes, I don't know. I think it would be great. Just when somebody pauses really long, I'll just know. Go. Just have Jimmy James.
All during the week, I think I got stuff I'm going to say, but by the time Friday rolls around, I don't remember what it was. I'm so beat down.
Hey, look, you and me both. I'm usually so tired by the time we get around to here that, like, I'm just fed up with a lot of things and forgot half of what I thought I was going to talk about. It's like on Tuesday I'll say to myself, you know what, I'm going to talk about that on Friday and Wednesday, and then, you know, something else will happen. And, yeah, it'll all be forgotten. I mean,
you got to write that stuff down, man.
I know. I try to, but you know what? I'm the idiot who loses the paper after he writes the thing down. So it's just...
You need a pen? I got a pen. I got plenty of pens. You sure you don't need a pen?
You know what? I'm almost out of Ocelli pens. I only have a couple left.
You probably hold back. I can send back to you. I haven't even opened up yet.
You probably have more of them than I do. I probably do. Yeah. But look, it's cool. Look, share them with friends, man. Give some of my pens away.
Well, I use them at work, and people constantly steal my pen at work. So
okay. Well, they're getting out there.
Bag of them in there.
As long as they're getting out there, brother, that's all, you know. Sorry about that. I did send him too many pens, I guess, when I sent him a package at one point. But what are you going to do? I said,
it wasn't too many. It was just more than I needed at the moment.
Okay. Well, you know, I think I mailed you a package, and then you met Mrs. O and got a package directly, didn't you? So
she had some. There were some in the Christmas gift, yeah.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah, the book and the candle, and which I have been using since I moved. I saved it for moving into the new house.
Nice. So, does it work well? So smells good.
Much appreciated.
You know, we tried to send a candle. Good. We tried to send a candle to Jimmy James, and the post office didn't have it for I don't know months. And then it got returned because it said that he didn't pick it up from where it was. And I'm like, I don't understand this. You overcharged me. You lost this thing for 3 months, and you sent it back to me. I actually have it. I don't know if you know that, Jimmy.
Oh, that's cool. They found it behind the seat in somebody's car and sent it back.
I got the candle. It's the books I never got.
Is that what's in the box?
The post office... office sent me a note and said, if you ever want to see your books again, bring down some money. So I called him and said, fine, I will pay. Be happy to pay the money, but I don't get paid for a few weeks, so just please hold it. And then that's the last I ever heard or seen of them.
Well, months later, they sent it back to me. And because I was having trouble getting any of that media mail, you know, rate. And I took a pile of packages to the post office, and they gave me media mail rate, which was really rare. But then, according to the note I got, they decided that what I sent you was not all media, so they wanted to charge me more, but I had already paid. So I had no idea what to do with that. And then I guess they were going to try and collect the money from you, the difference between media mail and regular postage. And they just basically said, you didn't pick it up, so they sent it back to me. So I'm like, okay. But this
I called the exact people that were holding the package. I said, look, just hold it. I will be down there. It's going to be a few weeks, but I am going to get it.
Well, I don't know when that phone call took place, but it was several months later that this just package just re-arrived at my house. And I'm like, what the hell is this?
I didn't hear nothing for like 2 months, and then all of a sudden I got this weird scribbled letter from the post office. We have your books. We need more money. If you want your books, bring it down. I was like, what is this?
Hey, now, what, the post did they charge you for the letter?
You know what? That's a good
thing. Did they?
Go ahead, BP.
Did they charge you for the letter? Because I don't know if I told this story before. My girlfriend in Switzerland, she did survey stuff through doctor's offices in the UK. And so she wanted a new phone, a new iPhone that had a day runner planner in it. So she could plan when she could put in there when she had to call these doctor's offices and what product it was she was asking about, blah, blah, blah. So she buys one off of eBay, and she gets this letter from the Swiss Post. We have your MP3 player. We need you to come to the office, pick it up, and bring your receipts, blah, blah, blah. What the guy had done is he labeled it as an MP3 player and sent it. And the Swiss Post always checks on things like that because they charge tax on goods coming in.
Right.
So she had to, and then at the bottom of the letter, it tells him, and we're charging you 75 Swiss francs for this letter. So she goes down to get it. Now she pays. The difference between the retail for the iPhone model and whatever was listed as the MP3 player, she had to pay the difference in that tax. Then she had to pay some kind of $50 fine for trying to get out of paying the tax, then had to pay for the letter that they sent her. So she ends up getting home with the phone. So what she thought she was saving, she ended up paying almost double by the time they threw all the fines and everything on top of it. When she gets it home, I open the thing up, crack it open, and guess what?
Broken.
There's not a day planner on the damn thing.
Oh, God. Excellent. Excellent. Now,
try to save a buck.
No, look, and it's tough because you gotta fill out the forms properly. You gotta call this thing a gift. That's another thing. It's a different tax if it's going to some other country. Oh yeah, man, it's a mess.
Oh yeah, my money's still floating around out there. Still don't got my money.
Oh, you never got the. Oh, that's right.
Been
the thing
month.
With his mom. This is the
just
thing
floating around out there.
Well, I've got money floating around, too. Go ahead.
Which method did they use for sending it? I mean, how did they send the money? PayPal. What platform did they use?
No, what he did, he sent PayPal. He sent a PayPal payment and to his mom, remember? Yeah. And for some reason, they're not letting him pull it back. That's what the thing is. So now it's just floating around. This kind of thing is starting to happen more and more, I got
to
tell you. Things in limbo, either money or packages. Forget it, man. It's like a roulette wheel when you send things into the post office.
Jimmy, this is where you take advantage of having a fan club, and you have them write PayPal and tell them how distressed they are that the man with the fans' money is floating around out there, and his mom still ain't got it yet. That you take advantage of this fan club and use it to your advantage.
Well, also part of the problem is my mom won't answer the phone, and they keep trying to call her. So that doesn't help them.
I'm sorry. I'm just thinking about the comedy of errors between the packages the package I try and send the guy, and then he tries to send money to his mom, and it's like out there in Never Never Land. You can't get it back. She didn't get it. It's just there's a communication issue with you, Jimmy James. I just got to tell you. I don't know what it is, but it was the weirdest thing with this post office. I'm thinking to myself, you sent this thing all the way back to me, in Georgia, halfway across the country, okay, over whatever this discrepancy was. And meanwhile, I didn't try and market media mail. They just marked it that way because I had other packages there. And the whole problem is, I sent Jimmy James a water bottle. That's the whole problem. It doesn't have water in it. It's an empty water bottle. There are Ocelli Effect water bottles that a couple of people have gotten, right? So I put that in his package along with his books. That's what the whole problem is. That's why they decided, well, we can't charge you just media, because they figured out the water bottle's in there.
So, you gotta be kidding me.
I'm not kidding you. I mean, how much weight do you think that water... You have water bottles. How much weight do you think that is empty? Nothing. I mean, what do you do?
Oh, crap. Well, not even a, not what, 2 ounces at the most?
It's, it's a BPA-free, made-in-America water bottle, okay? and it's lightweight. And I gave these away to everybody. I was going to try and sell them at one point, but I just gave them away to people.
Yeah, I had one that had 4,283 pens inside.
Well, look, I stuffed a bunch of pens in. What are you going to do? I probably stuffed pens. Well, you know what? I might have put pens in Jimmy James's water bottle, too. I can't remember. But I have this box here that's still wrapped
that
up.
That stuff is promotional material with Ocelli on it. You would think they would count it as promotional material media crap.
No, it's not media mail. No,
post office.
No, books, paper.
It's a ripoff.
Books, paper, stationery. I forget what the literal... And there's a list of stuff. They're like, this is media mail. And it used to be CDs, too, but hardly anybody uses CDs anymore. But there was a reduced rate for that, which, you know, not my fault that that's what they charge. And they never charge me the media mail, even though when I've gone to the post office and been like, this is a book, you know, they still wanted to charge me, I forget what it was, $27 or $29 to send a book to Canada. And I'm like, look, this is a book. Mm. You know, it's not, and not even a big heavy book, like just a kind of regular trade paperback. I mean, I'm like, $29. I made a call to the guy in Canada. I said, they want to charge me $29 to send you this book. And he said, look, don't send me the book. $29? I wouldn't pay that. It's okay. You know. But
it's more than the book.
It's way more than the book, actually. It's like, the book is probably $15. So, you know, book plus normal shipping, it shouldn't even reach what it is they're telling me to you know, pay to go into Canada. Plus, you got to fill out all the forms. Plus, you know, so I'm like, yeah, never mind on that. But, no, tried to send Jimmy James a water bottle. My mistake. I should have just sent the books. But, you know me, I always want to throw something extra in. So this is why it got sent back. But this literally took, I mean, this wasn't something that happened in a couple of weeks. This took like 6 months for this package to, you know, from the time it left my hands to the time it got back here. So that's the way it is. You want to take another call, BP?
Life in America.
Yeah.
Sure,
yeah,
if we got it.
Sorry. Jimmy James, what?
Like 3 months ago, I said, okay, here I am. Here's your money. Where's my books? And they all said, well, you don't know what you're talking about.
Well, yeah, because they had already sent it back into the system, but I didn't see it for a long time. So, I will get you those books. You know what? I'll take apart that package and just resend you somehow. I'll get it to you. But I was just amazed that it was like, you know, 6 months worth of a trip this box was on. And, you know, I don't even remember. What was the price difference? $5? Is that what the price difference was?
I think it was like $12, $13.
Oh, geez, $12. I didn't even realize it was that much. I'm sorry. I didn't try to even cheap out on it. I just want to tell you. I was like,
normally it wouldn't be no problem, lady. I said, just look, please, just leave it alone, and I'll be there in 3 weeks, and I promise you, I'll be picking it up. Okay. A few weeks later, what are you talking about? What box?
We don't know nothing. Okay. Just.
Yeah. Oh, that must have been someone else working. But you're the only one here.
Oh,
it
yeah.
It wasn't my day.
No, I love that when there's two people that work at the post office and that's really all that works at the post office. And you ask both of them and neither one of them knows what happened, but it went through the post office. Yeah. Like, who else works here, Chief? Well, nobody. Just us. Okay. Well, I mean, then who did it?
Just me and my cat, Buster.
Yeah, well, look, maybe the cat is actively taking care of stuff on the overnight when nobody's looking. I don't know. I just don't know. So, anyway, Jimmy James, you want us to go to the next caller, or you got something else you want to throw out?
No, bring in some more callers.
Sure, why not? Let's see. Here we go. The man who reminded me that Glenn Viklund was supposed to be on. How you doing, Vance?
I guess that didn't happen.
No, apparently not. You know, I could check with the place where I message him right now and see if he responded. Because knowing my luck, he's waiting for me to respond again over through a messaging thing. But, you know, I can't account for what people... I did not remember, honestly, that he was even supposed to do that. So, doesn't look to me like he's seen my message.
What's the time difference?
To Sweden? I think it might be... He's 5 hours ahead, I think. Maybe six?
Yeah, they're the same time zone as... it's either the same time zone as England or Switzerland. Hold on.
Yeah, it's either... I think it's either 5 or 6 ahead, but double-check that, BP, because I'm not sure.
I will.
But I just looked now to see about the messages, and he has not messaged me, so... we're just going to go along with the normal plan for the next hour and 24, 23 minutes. And then Aaron Franz will start with the Age of Transitions at 10 p.m. Eastern. Because, yeah, things keep moving even when people don't show up. So, anyways, Vince, anything else on your mind besides that? Because we didn't get the thriller that isn't in Manila over here between B. Pete and Glenn. So, here we are with the regular program. Sorry.
It looks like these 6 hours. It's 2:37 in the morning.
Right. But it's not like he hasn't been on the show at this time and stayed up and whatever.
He knows. Yeah. He knows how this works.
Yeah.
He would have gotten a hold of you by now if he were coming.
Right. I think he just probably and honestly forgot. Because I did. So it's a perfectly plausible excuse.
I don't know. He was pretty feisty in the room last week. So I would have thought he'd have. I'd have thought he'd have been here, but. I don't know.
And the possibility is still there.
Stoking his cat too much here in his retirement.
That could happen. Or, you know what?
I have a feeling.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that he's thawing logs.
Well, that could be. Or he could be taking a nap and he intends on showing up at 9 because he thinks it begins on that hour. I've had that happen before. You know.
He knows you start at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, but I've had international people, like, especially Australia is always fun. Because it's totally wrong day, so I'll sit there and go Wednesday, and they'll be like, well, I'm here on Wednesday, and I'm like, yeah, that's tomorrow. yeah, because they're literally already a day ahead at a certain point, because it's many hours ahead, right? So, it happens.
What, Australia?
Yeah, like Australia is like that, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, the far side of Australia is, what, 26 hours?
Well, something like that. Something like that. So, you know, by the time you get to, like, 9 p.m. Eastern here, like I say, on a Friday, it's already, almost Sunday morning for them, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. Let me pull my clock back up. I can tell you, I think I got Adelaide in
here. There you go. We'll have BP keep checking time zones, because this is the radio we do.
In Sydney, which is the far eastern side, it is 10:39 tomorrow morning.
There you go. Okay, so but it's already Saturday morning. You know what I mean? All right.
Yeah.
Anyways, so Vance, I know it wasn't all about the time check, but good.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. You know, maybe he forgot to set his alarm or you know, whatever. But it. There's no sense in having a big argument or whatever over anything. I mean, I would like to have a, you know, nice conversation and discussion about all that because, I mean, as it is right now, we're, you know, dealing with all this quote-unquote inflation and, you know, apparently nobody knows how to, you know, remedy that and what causes it. And it's just something that, you know, magically appears and you know, everybody's got an excuse and, the poor people can't afford to go to work anymore, so I don't know.
No, I gotcha. Now, Lucum in the chat room is talking about postal rates and how he used to get... And I used to love that, actually. I used to use Priority when it was more reasonably priced, and you could just pick up whole packages of their boxes, their flat-rate stuff. And, yeah, there it was. Real easy, and...
Well, even Christy was talking about it, what, Tuesday night, Foster... postage and packaging and the bubble envelopes and things that she normally used to do and
right.
having to make changes. So it's been an ongoing problem for a while.
Yeah, and
very expensive.
And I don't constantly mail stuff. I mean, I do it, you know, in bunches here and there, but it was just had... And really the funny thing is I sent out a bunch of books other ways to other people, no problems, all over the place. And just Jimmy James has this weird nexus where it took 6 months for this thing to go back and forth, and he never got his books. But anyway, that's that. I'll have to resend them to you as soon as I have money to do it. Again, everybody's getting squeezed. So, Vance, anything else on your mind this Friday?
I'll just be glad when this... heat wave goes away, but I don't think it's ever going to really go away, but yeah, it's been hard to deal with being out in this stuff all day.
Yeah, hot in Texas. It's awfully humid here, I'll tell you that much. The humidity is rough, but other than that, I mean, we're not even at the peak of where it's going to be hot in Georgia. That's a few weeks away to where it's going to get blistering hot, and it's going to stay that way probably all the way through September, along with the humidity. So we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, no.
We've had a couple days over 100 so far. I mean, we're not like Texas and Arizona and what they're dealing with out there, but it's unusual for us to hit 100 this early in the year.
Mm-hmm. No, it's been hot. It's been hot.
It's fairly unusual here, too, you know, to have multiple days like we've been having, you know, in a row. It's occasionally, you know, get up, you know, at this time of year to 100 or so. But, yeah, it's been a bunch of days over 100. It was 104 today, and it's still 100 right now.
Hmm.
Feels like 101, and the humidity's 24%. I know last night I looked at, you know, later in the evening, and it was 53%.
Fair enough. So, just to catch everybody up on what went on with the podcast this week, on Wednesday I did not do an Ocelli effect because my stomach was a wreck, and it was still a wreck on Thursday, but I figured out a way to get through it. And Don Jeffries had a show. Bob did an extra show this week. So Wilson wound up talking for an hour with Jefferson Morley about his new book in the middle of the week there. So you had that extra podcast to cover for my missing one anyway. On Tuesday, we had 2 hours with Christy Aphrodite. On Monday, what did I do? I think that was Jefferson Morley day for me. And I went a little more than an hour with him on that, and then I thought out loud for about 45 minutes, so that was that. Thursday, we had Mike Swanson and Larry Hancock. Jack Blood, I'm not going to make any comments on the Jack Blood show this week, but if you listen to it, he might sound a little different than he does most of the time. I'll just leave it at that. And, yeah, so this is the week that was here on the network. And just want to let everybody know, I did get caught up finally just before airtime. I got out Jack's and my shows from yesterday. So all of what is going to come out this week is already out, except this show you're listening to right now, which I'll probably put out tomorrow late because I'm going to take a little bit of time. And actually, I might take a little bit of time sometime one of these weeks anyway to just try and unwind. Because I'm a little stressed out. I got to be honest with you. And, yeah, I might just take a few days off. Not because I'm entirely stressed out with the show, but because I'm just, it's a bunch of things. I think I got to make some changes, actually. So I'm gonna. And, yeah, I need a little bit of peace of mind for a little while, not to have work weighing on me or something I got to get done before a certain hour or anything to think. How about that? And just take things in and evaluate things without stress. So I'm going to try and do that, but I don't know exactly when. Probably sometime in the next couple of weeks you'll see me take 3-4 days off in a row, which is weird, but it'll happen. And I also might change some things on the network, just saying. Anyways, B. Pete, where should we go from here?
Oh, I don't know. My Hurricanes lost out in the playoffs, so they're not competing for the Stanley Cup this year, so I'm kind of bummed out about that. Although East Carolina baseball team is one game away from the championship series, I believe. They play one more game tomorrow against, I think, Texas El Paso. I believe. Don't quote me on that, though. Anyway, they won the game today. They've got a best out of three series, and then they go to, I think, Omaha this year is where the NCAA series is going to be for baseball. So that's been interesting. They won, went 20 games straight, lost on the 21st, so pretty good record for them. But other than that, sports is kind of dead right now. I think we got the playoffs going on in basketball, but I really don't watch the NBA that much. And you know, baseball's just getting cranked up, so you got a ways to go there.
Yeah,
other than that, ain't a whole lot going on.
I was going to say, Major League Baseball is about a month away from the All-Star break, right? So
yeah,
you know, that's when people really evaluate how those races are going to go, as I remember, because I used to watch baseball fanatically at one point.
Yeah, and it always gets better, you know, to in the end of August, September, when they're going towards the end of the season, everybody's fighting for a pennant.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a strange thing. I'm just not as much into sports as I used to be. You know, you brought up bayonets earlier. I want to tell you that evoked a thought. The odd conversation I had with Larry Hancock last night, where we talked about his history as a protester when he was in college and stuff, an anti-war protester who then wound up, you know, enlisting in the Navy or the Air Force, or I think. Very, very interesting discussion about, he was comparing, you know, the protests of old and such to more current events, and talking about that. And I just several times had a hard time picturing Larry Hancock as a anti-war protester.
You know, that was something growing up that we saw on the news every night with the Vietnam War going on. You know, that was a big thing. My dad and I used to get in arguments. You know, I'm in the sixth grade, and he and I are debating this crap. Of course, you know, he was a lifetime military guy. So, of course, he's coming at it from one direction, and, you know, I'm coming at it from another direction. But that was every night on TV. You saw riots going on. It's amazing. And then it all died out, and now people come back trying. You think they would have learned some stuff from people in the 60s. I mean, I don't know. Rioting today is just totally different. Doesn't even look the same.
Well, that was the thing I was talking about. Is, you know, there was a different, many different circumstances. Some of the stuff you might not like that I had to say, but you know, very much I was talking about how the time period in the 60s that everybody thinks of, you know, it was way more violent than anything we've seen recently.
It was. But you also had groups like the Weathermen out there.
Yeah, well, that was part of what got brought up. The SDS or whatever, right?
SDS, and then the Weather Underground came out of it.
Well, there was that, and there was just, I mean, look, when, you know, as I pointed out in several places, in two nights in Newark, there was more dead bodies and more property damage than there was during the whole summer of George Floyd protests, okay? Two nights in Newark did better.
If you think about it, though, there was a lot more politically going on back then, I guess. You had the Vietnam War. You had the Panthers protesting. You had, you know, the Weather Underground out there robbing Brinks trucks and blowing up themselves, trying to make bombs in their apartment. I mean, you just had so many things going on that people were protesting about. I mean, hell, they'd protest 2 days with brownouts in a major city. Had the civil rights movement going on.
Well, see, but that's the thing.
Going back and forth about that. So you just had this big cauldron of protesters. It's like the perfect storm. They all came out at night, you know, at the same time. Well, today is so isolated. Oh, we're going to protest because of this one thing. Or we need to protest. It's totally different mindset, I think. I don't know. I don't think the generation today gets it.
Well, see, that's the thing, is we went back and forth about that, about the differences and, you know, comparing. And so that's why I think it's an interesting conversation, especially because, you know, he had gone through some changes regarding his views on things and why that happened.
Yeah. Well, and you do that as you get older.
Yeah. Well, but that's the thing is, you know, in that point in the 60s, before I'm even born and around the time you're a kid. Right. You know, we're talking about a time period here where, you know, it is not the same thing as now. You were informed differently. That's for sure. You didn't have, you know, the 24-hour media points to deal with. And really, frankly, they sanitize that stuff, though, because now what do you see? You know, they show you the signs. They show you, the dirty hippies got together and they did this and they chanted and they were all peaceful. And I'm like, yeah, but not all that was peaceful, you know. And
I think the big difference between the protests back then and now is that back then they were actually organic, real protests. Whereas now I think it's nothing more than pure partisan people literally being paid to march around and chant.
Mm.
and not That's much true. Else. And some That's people true. Taking advantage of the situation to riot.
Yeah,
it's
but,
totally different.
Yeah. But there, well, there were always too, opportunists.
You had yeah. groups that well, but you also had groups that didn't hesitate to tell you what it is they wanted. Mm. You know, now people will protest, but they won't have an example of how to fix something. It's like they're protesting just to complain. Where back then, people were protesting to complain, but they also wanted change, and they followed through on that, whether it was on a local level or a state level or a federal level. You know, they would vote their conscience, and they would actually get up and do something about it. Today, it's like, you know, what are we going to complain about today? We need a new complaint. Mm. It's like their heart's not in it, or they're simply trying to capitalize on it in their own way, whatever twisted reason, whether it's commercial or whether it's, you know, I'm going to, you know, scam my money out of this and be gone to the next complaint of the week next week. Mm. A totally different amount of conviction in what they're complaining about. And I think today a lot of it's just because they want to have something to complain about.
Yeah, but see, back then they used to say that a lot of these guys just, you know, basically went to go to whatever protest to get laid too, you know, like that was, they weren't there true. For and look, anytime you see a massive gathering, guaranteed there are some people going, this is an opportunity, you know, to meet people.
Oh, absolutely. You know, good and well, year. College students back in the late 60s and early 70s, you know, up in the Northeast, it's like, hey, you know, let's go. There's going to be Bryn Mawr girls there. You know, let's go pick them up.
Well, and that's the other thing.
That was part of it.
I mean,
all those college chicks. Oh, yeah. They're all here.
Back in, like, the early 70s, prior to when I was in high school, which is 75, so I know it was, you know, early 70s, like, in Houston, we had two sit-outs, what they call it, two different schools that I was going to back then. The first one was when we had there was a little convenience store right across the street from the school, so you get to the school sometimes half an hour early, you know, before class starts and all that kind of stuff on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'd go across the street, you know, and get, you know, chocolate milk or, you know, whatever, and, you know, smoke cigarettes and all this stuff you do, you know, when you cross the streets. And at any rate, they made, at some point, closed the campus and said you can't, once you get off the bus, you can't, you know, walk across the street anymore. And then they put up a fence to where they could, like, you know, try to keep us in and stuff. And when they put up the fence, because we just kept doing it anyway, but anyway, a bunch of us all went and sat along the fence, you know, before school and just stayed there and made them come and take us into the office. Or, you know, they put us in this room in the auditorium and all that kind of stuff. And we did that twice. I can't remember what the other thing was about, but that was at another school in the spring.
Yeah. Oh, wait,
yeah, it was just a different mindset. You know, kids these days are just, you know, they're too conditioned, I guess, at this point.
Well, we had kind of a situation like that, even though I was in high school in the the later 80s. But, you know, they were still dealing with the resonance of what went on in the 70s. And they had a whole thing. There was actually a place established and kept in business pretty much by the high school kids, and they called it Schoolhouse Deli. No kidding. Which was on Schoolhouse Road, which the high school was on also. Just to, you know, it ended up being a couple of blocks away. No, there was a whole thing about that, too. I mean, everybody, a little bit of controversy, too, because the people that were underage were buying their cigarettes there and stuff like that. I was one of them. But, you know, it was just, it was a weird thing because almost everybody would run to the Schoolhouse Deli, you know, if they were leaving. And, hell, I used to buy my lunch there. It was a little cheaper, and I could get, you know, a deli-made sandwich. Especially when I was working, I had money. It was a lot easier, even when I was going to school, to do that than to deal with the cafeteria food. So, you know. But they were still dealing with the stuff that went on in the 70s, because there were a lot more protests, a lot more of that stuff where, you know, the kids would sit on the lawn, or they would go across the street at a certain point, I think there was different properties that were purchased and then set aside to not have them be anything. There was all kinds of weird stuff that went on because of it. And it was weird because Neptune High School was like next to the library for Neptune, the public library too. And the whole thing is built on a giant landfill, thanks. and also just adjacent to a major hospital. But anyways, it was weird, though, to watch that because there were teachers that were still there from the 70s and talking about, you know, the days when we actually had riot procedures and things here, which are still on the books. But we don't do the drills. They used to do riot drills in my school. But they had stopped them by the time I got in there. But they were still on the books. Like, you know, we could do this. And it was really silly, too. It was like pull all the shades and make all the kids sit up against the solid wall and this kind of stuff. Like, pretty much just be away from the windows kind of thing. You know, nowadays, if that school is still open, I don't even know. But if it is, they're probably doing active shooter drills because every school does. But anyway, we're almost at the end of the hour, and it's interesting. I'm just saying it was one of those conversations that I found really fascinating to hear from Larry about, you know, his history and how things changed over time. And then he winds up enlisting in the military, too, and we talked about that and the patriotic call and so on and so forth. You know, so it was, I found it to be a different sort of conversation with Larry Hancock, and I think people will appreciate that. Anyways, B-Pete, what else should we do before we go to the break?
Oh, I don't know. No update on our naked car thief in Asheville, NC. He's still waiting to go to court, so I got no update there.
Oh, the guy who was carjacking and banging on the trailers and trying to demand keys, yeah, naked? That guy, yeah?
I think he's been hit with a... I think they tied him to a couple more break-ins than that. They've hit him with some more burglary charges and crap. Well, no. Now we're just waiting for him. I think he goes August.
Wait, Jimmy, you got something?
Oh, I know. Oh, I know, Jimmy. I mean, you know, they pile on when they can.
Yeah, of course.
What's right. The point? He's already facing 10,000 years.
Well, you know, there's nothing stopping the court from giving you 5 life sentences, you know? I mean, just saying. It's the thing they do.
Now, I'm wondering if he's got a pro bono attorney or can he afford one of his own? Because if he's got one of his own, I imagine that guy's charging him a pretty penny.
You know, that was another funny thing that came up during the Hancock discussion where I said it's really, really annoying to me when people say, you know, oh, the January 6th guys are political prisoners. And I'm like, you are clearly not familiar with the with the penal system, because I've known people that have sat there for, you know, long periods of time over no such political charge. And it's just a matter of what happens. And a lot of times you get done sitting there and they bring up charges and make sure to stack a bunch of them so some of them stick, and then you end up with time served because you've already been sitting in jail for a year. You know, if you wind up with just the public defender and you got no money for a lawyer, a lot of times, yeah, I've known people. One guy I even brought up last night was, you know, brought in first on a domestic violence charge. The domestic violence charge got dropped, but because he had weed in his pocket at the time they arrested him over the domestic violence charge, they stuck him with that and some other stuff. And by the time they got around to, you know, actually bringing him to trial, they decided not to. And he pled out and gave him time served for all this other crap that came along with the domestic violence charge, which was unfounded. And that's a guy I knew that went through that. And I've known several other people, DUIs, you know, gun possession, whatever, where they've just sat.
Well, that,
yeah, go ahead.
That brings up an interesting point, something that happened this week. You know, Pelosi's husband got pulled for a DUI out. He was on his way home. He was leaving one of his vineyards or something. Anyway, there was a wreck and an accident, and he was charged with DWI or DUI. And now, apparently, the charges are under review, meaning that they may go away. And, of course, you know, Nancy Pelosi hasn't said anything about this, and the news really isn't covering it much. But thought it curious that a rich, influential San Franciscoer gets a ticket tossed because of who he is. The shock.
Right, right. No, I hear you. And, of course, listen, if you're privileged, the rules are different. I mean, if you happen to be the husband of a representative in Congress, sure, your rules are different. You happen to have a good amount of money, some influence in the community, whatever. No, you may not sit there for all that long. You'll get released. You'll get something. But a lot of people, you know what? The bail is too high. They can't make it. They don't know anybody who's going to put up a house for them because they don't know anybody with a house to begin with. I guess you just sit. And a lot of times they do. And sometimes it's over nothing. And eventually, because they stacked a whole bunch of charges on you, it's like, well, look, if you plead guilty to all this, we can get you out of here finally. You do it. So you go with the lesser charge, the thing you were dragged in for to begin with, not even part of the equation, and that's that. But I'll tell you what, in the next hour, we'll see what else is part of the equation on the Ocelli Effect. I know I've got one Skype caller to bring in. It's not Glenn Viklin, but anyway, it is somebody that I'm happy to hear from. And we'll get on with the rest of the show as we go here on a Friday night. Stick around and call in 319-527-5016, 319-527-5016, and be part of the Friday night open mic. We got a little less than an hour left.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market, WallStreetWindow.com. Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough.
Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now.
Support Chuck Ocelli at Chili.com.
There's no money in it, so...
Yeah, that is
that's the problem.
That's the biggest problem, I think. And, some people would say that, look, you're in an age when you can be independently supported, but quite frankly, I'm on that business model, too, and look, I'm not going to complain, but I'm going to complain. Okay, because people want to support you, they love you to death, but honestly...
So if you're listening in, this is a very unsubtle request to support the damn show. And I want you to do this, too, because... the Ocelli Report is one of the few places where Greg Palast can get his stuff out. I mean, you'll still see my bylines in some of these outlets, but nevertheless, I used to be a regular on CNN and on MSDNC, but no more.
Revelation through conversation.
Ocelli.com.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I'm interested in the truth about the JFK assassination.
Right. Well, what do you want to know?
Judy Baker's wild claim, Oswald girlfriend, he knew Ruby and Barry, cancer weapons. Really?
I imagine I could claim I have four wheels. It doesn't make me a wagon, but okay.
Oswald was on the kill team and trying to prevent the murder of John Kennedy. Come on now. Has a real expert on the JFK assassination looked into her claims?
Go to Amazon.com. Enter Judith Baker in her own words. You'll get results for a digital copy of a book where... Walt Brown utilizes her own words and the known evidence in the case to get at, well, a different perspective, let's say. You can get Judith Barry Baker in her own words from the author himself, signed if you request it, by contacting Dr. Brown at KIASJFK@AOL.com. It's a fun book, and it actually dissects the many, many fantastic claims. Judith Barry Baker in her own words.
Thank you for all the great information.
The War State by Michael Swanson explains the great national transformation that took place and put the Kennedy presidency in the context of the times and reveals never-before-published information about the Cuban Missile Crisis. President Kennedy would not have been assassinated if he had been president 200 years ago. His assassination took place in the context of the Cold War and the rise of the national security state. Before World War II, the United States was a continental republic. In the decade that followed, it became an imperial superpower. Generals such as Curtis LeMay not only wanted to invade Cuba, but knew that there were short-range missiles on the island armed with nuclear warheads that they could not destroy because they were on mobile launchers. Their invasion could have led to a third world war, and they wanted to go to war anyway. The War State by Michael Swanson reveals why and will show you what President Kennedy was up against. For more information, thewarstate.com.
Uncle, do you remember that time when the year 2012 was going to create the apocalypse, end of the world?
Right. And I thought it would come to the end.
Did it ever end up that way?
No.
Yeah.
Like we say, the only way it would end is when he is ready for
That's
it
right.
to end. That's how it is.
So if you want the real truth about 2012, you better listen to the Ocelli.com radio network.
Radio podcast. .com.
Yeah, forget it's John Cusack.
John Cusack
doesn't know what he's talking about.
Know what he's talking actually about. Correct.
But we here at the Ocelli Radio Network sure do.
Do you sure understand and understand where it's actually coming from?
Ocelli.com.
In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks by Larry Hancock. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. Larry Hancock's book, In Denial, rips the cover off many of them. Using new files, it exposes things about the Bay of Pigs that no one has ever written about before. It shows why it really failed and why the United States did not learn from it. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. It also shows why other countries today are doing secret operations with more success. This is the book that puts what some want to deny into the light. In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks. Larry Hancock. For more information, go to larry-hancock.com. Pick up your copy of In Denial at amazon.com in digital or physical form.
I want them to appreciate the incredible job we're doing. We are doing a job the likes of which has never been done before. You're going to have mental depression for people. You're going to have large numbers of suicides. Take a look at what happens in a really horrible recession or worse. So you're going to have tremendous suicides. But you know what you're going to have more than anything else? Drug addiction. You will see drugs being used like nobody's ever used them before. And people are going to be dying all over the place from drug addiction. I want them to appreciate the incredible job we're doing. We are doing a job the likes of which has never been done before. I want them to appreciate the incredible job we're doing. We are doing a job the likes of which has never been done before. You're going to have mental depression for people. You're going to have large numbers of suicides. Take a look at what happens in a really horrible recession or worse. So you're going to have tremendous suicides. But you know what you're going to have more than anything else? Drug addiction. You will see drugs being used like nobody's ever used them before. And people are going to be dying all over the place from drug addiction.
Do you like history? Real history that you were never taught in schools? Why? The Vietnam War, Nuclear Bombs and Nation Building in Southeast Asia. By author Mike Swanson. With new documentation never seen before. That'll open your eyes to events that led up to this. Why? The Vietnam War, Nuclear Bombs and Nation Building in Southeast Asia. 1945 through 1961. Get your copy today at Amazon.com. Why? The Vietnam War by author Mike Swanson.
Every time I put it on my face, I'm able to breathe just a little bit deeper.
What are people saying about MyTrueEssence.net?
I'm going to tell you something serious, man. I just want to tell you listeners, I bought some of that Modifilan from Christy, and she made me up some of this emu oil mixed with some other stuff. I don't know what's in it, but I like the way it smelled. And I started putting it on, rubbing it on my foot, rubbing it on my knee, and like the second day, I just noticed it. I'm walking around, I'm like, damn, my knee is loose.
I can tell you that oil you gave me helped me with my carpal and my shoulder problem. If it wasn't, I wouldn't be working.
My ankles started to really be pesky and bother me. And I'm telling you, the pain just went away.
Essential oils rule!
And when I put that on, it's like my skin came alive.
MyTrueEssence.net.
support Chuck Ocelli at Ocelli.com.
Smoke free. A diversified multicultural postmodern deconstruction is politically, anatomically, and ecologically incorrect. I've been uplinked and downloaded, I've been inputted and outsourced, I know the upside of downsizing, I know the downside of upgrading. I'm a high-tech lowlife, a cutting-edge, state-of-the-art, bi-coastal multitasker, and I can give you a gigabyte in a nanosecond. I'm new wave, but I'm old school, and my inner child is outward bound. I'm a hot-wired, heat-seeking, warm-hearted, cool customer, voice-activated and biodegradable. I interface with a database, and databases in cyberspace, so I'm interactive, I'm hyperactive, and from time to time, I'm radioactive. Behind the eight ball, ahead of the curve, riding the wave, dodging the bullet, pushing the envelope. I'm on point, on task, on message, and off drugs. I got no need for coke and speed. I got no urge to binge and purge. I'm in the moment, on the edge, over the top, but under the radar. A high concept, low profile, medium range ballistic missionary. A streetwise smart bomb. A top gun bottom feeder. I wear power ties, I tell power lies, I take power naps, I run victory laps. I'm a totally ongoing Bigfoot slam dunk rainmaker with a proactive outreach. A raging workaholic. A working rageaholic. Out of rehab and in denial. I got a personal trainer, a personal shopper, a personal assistant, and a personal agenda. You can't shut me up, you can't dumb me down. Because I'm tireless and I'm wireless. I'm an alpha male on beta blockers. I'm a non-believer and an overachiever. Laid back but fashion forward. Up front, down home, low rent, high maintenance. Supersized, long-lasting, high-definition, fast-acting, oven-ready, and built to last. I'm a hands-on, foot-loose, knee-jerk head case. Prematurely post-traumatic, and I have a love child who sends me hate mail. But I'm feeling, I'm caring, I'm healing, I'm sharing. A supportive, bonding, nurturing, primary caregiver. My output is down, but my income is up. I take a short position on the long bond, and my revenue stream has its own cash flow. I read junk mail, I eat junk food, I buy junk bonds, I watch trash sports. I'm gender-specific, capital-intensive, user-friendly, and lactose intolerant. I like rough sex. I like tough love. I use the F word in my email, and the software on my hard drive is hardcore, no soft porn. I bought a microwave at a mini mall. I bought a minivan at a megastore. I eat fast food in the slow lane. I'm toll-free, bite-sized, ready-to-wear, and I come in all sizes. A fully equipped, factory-authorized, hospital-tested, clinically proven, scientifically formulated medical miracle. I've been pre-washed, pre-cooked, pre-heated, pre-screened, pre-approved, pre-packaged, post-dated, freeze-dried, double-wrapped, vacuum-packed, and I have an unlimited broadband capacity. I'm a rude dude, but I'm the real deal. Lean and mean, cock-locked and ready to rock. Rough, tough, and hard to bluff. I take it slow. I go with the flow. I ride with the tide. I get blind in my stride. Driving and moving, sailing and spinning, jiving and grooving, wailing and winning. I don't snooze, so I don't lose. I keep the pedal to the metal and the rubber on the road.
Do you want to play Blind Man? Ocelli.com.
Revelation through conversation.
The views expressed by caller schools or anyone else who happens to get on the air at Ocelli.com do not necessarily reflect the views of Ocelli.com or Chuck Ocelli, and we are not responsible for any stupidity which might ensue. Thank you.
Ocelli.com.
Revelation through conversation.
Second hour of the Ocelli Effect begins now. It's the Friday night open mic, and we are indeed open. So if you want to call in, 319-527-5016, at least for the next, 45-plus minutes, because the Age of Transitions with Aaron Franz will begin at 10 p.m. Eastern. So there it is. And if you're not hearing us live, which is Friday the 10th of June, then don't call. But if it is Friday the 10th of June, just after, almost around quarter after, actually, 9 p.m. Eastern in the U.S., then we are live. But otherwise, we are not. So you might be hearing the replay, etc., etc. B-Pete is with me. Vance has called in. Jimmy James has called in. And during the break, we added in Nature Boy. So as per usual, new caller gets priority. So I'm going to go to Nature Boy and see what he's got to say. And then also turn it over to B-Pete, let him follow through on it, and run the table afterwards. And you can interrupt all that and add in new thoughts. You get priority as a new caller if you join us. 319-527-5016 or Charles.Ocelli on Skype. Send me a message, and I can call you into the show if you ask me to. So anyway, let's go to Nature Boy first, but after that, B-Pete pick it up because... yeah, it's my time to sit back during the show, maybe. We'll see what happens. Nature Boy, what's on your mind tonight?
Well, first of all, just glad to be with old friends. Haven't talked to y'all in a little bit, so good evening. And good evening to all the listeners out there. Thanks for tuning in. I have an announcement. I don't know how else to say it. It's been weighing on my mind for a while now. so I figured, F it, it's time for me to come out. For a long time now, I've been having these fantasies and desires, okay? And I think I owe it to you. I think I owe it to the listeners to finally come out of the closet. So I don't know how else to say this, but I want to be a member of the Jimmy James fan club and to be a full-fledged member. And I know it's an accepting group, and I just hope that I can find a home. That's all.
Does anybody have any idea how nervous I just was there?
I do.
Like, I really? Okay, Jimmy James fan club. We have Jimmy James on the line, so who else but the man himself could approve of such a thing? Jimmy James.
Get that man a membership card.
Well, I'm just
and I got it.
Go ahead, Jimmy
James.
You
gotta talk to AJ.
Gotta talk to
AJ's the man.
AJ, okay.
You gotta talk to AJ. How handles all these details? I don't know what's going on.
Okay.
I got a suggestion for the name, and I came up with one last week or whatever, and I think it was Jimmy James's Deadpan Theater, but I think maybe Jimmy James Deadpan Review would be a good.
I thought it was the Fair Play for Jimmy James Committee.
Okay. This was just my suggestion, didn't it?
See, now I remember that Jimi Hendrix, like one of his first bands was called either Jimmy James and the Blue Flames or Jimmy James and the Grease Flames. That was one
Blue
of his
Flames.
First bands.
Yeah, Blue Flames.
Was it the Blue Flames?
Yeah, Blue Flames.
Yeah, I mean, you know. I was thinking, and it's actually Jimmy James was in it. So I'm thinking to myself, Jimmy James and the Blue Flames then, right? So you could all be the Blue Flames.
Yeah, that has a wrong connotation.
No, I don't like
Do you know
that.
What the Blue Flames are in the Urban Dictionary?
So no.
I don't no, what is a blue flame?
Never heard of a blue flame?
No.
Sorry. Excuse me.
What's that, Jimmy James?
I don't like the sound of this blue flame business.
I think Jimmy James knows exactly what I'm talking about. Do you not, brother?
I really
Explain
don't.
Explain to the audience what a blue flame is, please.
I have no idea, but it can't be good, and all my instincts say
good.
To reject it.
See, I would
it's
think
when you light a fart on fire, the methane puts off a blue flame. It's called the blue flame. You guys have not. I can't believe you've never heard that term.
Well, because I know blow torches and cigar lighters. They all make blue flames. So I'm thinking, you know, it must be an intense flame. Like, you know, it's not just your regular flame. It's you know, it's not quite white hot.
Fart on fire, brother. You can melt steel.
Well, okay, but I would think of it as a blow, you know, like, you ever see, like, a hand torch, acetylene torch, right? Usually that's blue when you turn it up, right? I mean, you know, you use the thing to spark it, you
yes.
turn it up. So isn't
yes,
that usually blue?
It's not the same as the passing flash of, you know, a flatulent fire.
Well, sure,
it
but
only lasts a second.
Yes.
But see, I used to do that.
Blue sometimes.
Okay, but I used to do that with my mouth with butane. You know, you fill up your party trick. I don't know if anybody else used to do this. I would fill up my mouth with butane from a lighter, you know, a regular Bic lighter. And then if you sort of just open your mouth just right and puff it out, you create a blue flame that way. That's out of your mouth. So I've seen blue flames in a lot of places.
I've done that before. I've singed a few eyelids on that one. When I was a kid.
Well, even better is when you put the Ronson fuel in your mouth and just spit that out, you can create a serious fireball. Things I used to amuse myself with.
I was going to say, you guys are easily amused. Hey, let's take this flammable and see how far we can spit it out on fire.
Well, you see,
a guy in our apartments was the first guy to do it, and he did it with lighter fluid, like Ronson lighter fluid.
Yeah,
Then later I said, well, I didn't have no Ronson lighter fluid, and this was when Kiss was a big deal and all that, so it was like spitting fire like Kiss, and literally I'd do it with charcoal lighter fluid, and you get a lot more in your mouth, and I could do a flame like 6, 8, 9 feet long.
Yeah.
You know, like that, and it tastes like shit. And you know, I'm sorry I said that. But
and you're poisoning yourself.
There, I don't imagine.
A little poisoning. Yeah, see, but I used to do this when I was a teenager because I would be in a room with, you know, okay, you end up in a room, 20 long-haired guys, 5 girls, right? And you're sitting there like, yeah, so you're all musicians, you all got long hair, how are you going to stand out? Well, if you spit out a ball of flame and scorch the ceiling in the apartment, they look at you a little different. You know, I'm just saying, you get their attention. So that used to be my methodology and why that started to happen. Of course, partially inspired by Gene Simmons, but either way.
Teach us, leader.
Wait a minute. We're getting off track here.
I'm sorry, yes.
Are we going to determine the actual name of the Jimmy James fan club? I mean, is it going to be Jimmy James and the, you know, Fart Blossoms, or is it going to be...
The Fart Blossoms.
We've got to come up with something.
I like the Jimmy James fan club. Personally, that's my vote.
I think the guy that made the Facebook group pretty much gets to choose it. I mean, he's making the thing.
Well, I told him to do it, but I haven't seen an update on it. The guy in Scotland, I told him, go ahead and make the Facebook group. And you never know who will join that. I mean, I'm just saying, there are people that join those groups. You might have an army if people really get involved over there. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah. Look at Judith Very Faker. How big? Yeah, you got to come up with something. Fart Blossoms isn't bad.
Well, look, on the Blue Flame, it's just like, I didn't think the band was that bad.
No, me neither. I mean, I'm sure that Jimi Hendrix wasn't thinking of lighting up your farts when he was in that band. Must have been another reason for the Blue Flame. I mean, it could have been just as simple as that's what you get at a stovetop that's, you know, a gas stovetop. You know, those are Blue Flames.
Now, if that was the way that he set his Strat on fire, then we'd have some here. Yes.
Yeah, but no, that wasn't what he did. I don't know. I don't know where that name even came from. And I couldn't remember if it was the Grease Flames
that,
or
something. That is one hell of a fart if you can set a guitar on fire with it.
It is. Because, you know...
I could do it.
That's got to be a sustained burn.
I could do it.
Well, you know, a human torch ass. I don't know. That's a lot.
I guess a little Ronson lighter fluid on the guitar would help.
Well, see, now there's another thing.
Come over here and get it started.
I got it. JJ and the Blue Flames.
Well,
Jimmy James, JJ and the Blue Flames. What do you think?
I don't like any of these ideas.
He doesn't like the Blue Flames thing. And he said he doesn't like any of the ideas.
How about the Jimmy James fan club? Simple.
I'll just leave it to the Scottish fellow.
Okay. Hopefully he starts the Facebook group. You know, lazy fans don't make the fan club grow. You know what I'm saying? So if you're listening, man, you got to get on making that Facebook group. You'll be able to name the fan club, okay?
It might be Death to Jimmy James or some such thing.
Well,
Death to Jimmy James.
Well, either that or you come up with a dual-use title. Like when I name my blog Fetzerine Against Rational Thought, you know, the initials are F-A-R-T, which is all Jim Fetzer is an old fart. So, but it's amazing. It took people a year or two before they realized that that's what it spelled. It's a slow group that hangs out at my place, apparently.
There you go. What are you going to do? Like I said, and I guess anybody who's got a face... I mean, look, I'm not going to start the Jimmy James fan club, but anybody who's got access to Facebook, go right ahead and do it, and let us know. Because I'll probably join it no matter what you call it. I'll give you that. You'll have me to join it, for sure. So create the group and message me on Facebook. Real easy to find, Chuck O'Celli. And if you're confused between me and my son, take a look at the profile picture. You won't be. Very simple. Okay, so, and I think he might be Charlie O'Celli on there. But either way, I'm the only Chuck O'Celli I know of on Facebook. So message me if you're not on my friends list. Tell me where the group is. I will join it. That simple. And I'll put the link in the show notes and stuff like that. I'll promote it. How about that? So you have a member and a promoter already if you create the Facebook group, okay? Let's see if somebody will do it. I don't even remember how to create a Facebook group anymore, but I'm sure it's not that hard. Because guaranteed, I mean, I see people that are not exactly intellectual giants of any sort that start Facebook groups, so I'm sure anybody can do it. Yeah, let me know, and I'll promote it and join it. Can't do better than that, BP, right?
Nope, can't do better than that.
There you go. And maybe BP will join. I'll ask him to join, I'm sure. I'll invite other members.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
He'll be one of the first people I invite. You ever had people get mad at you for inviting them to a group?
Yes and no. But, I mean, on Facebook, you get invited to, you know, everybody sends you these invites. And it's like, you know, I kind of like the groups I'm in. I don't need to join anymore. I don't even look at the ones I'm in. So how much is it actually being used? And I've noticed a drop-off, really, in activity of people using Facebook. In the past year. It's amazing.
Okay, well, I'm saying there's enough
people. And
these
were people that, you know, lived on it, are just starting to.
Well, that might be a positive sign. I mean,
it's a positive. Could be, seriously.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so
disengaged. You live your life on Facebook, it's, you gotta come up with a different system.
Yeah, definitely. Because I knew people that did everything on Facebook. It was like all their communications went through there. They played games on Facebook. They were playing games with each other on Facebook. I mean, it's just everything was Facebook. You know, anytime there was a controversy, what'd they say about it on Facebook? They would go look. You know, and I'm like, wow, your whole life is on Zuckerberg's platform. What are you doing? It's like, even if they eat anything, they do anything, it's on there. I'm like, your whole life is engaged with Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Absolutely.
It's like pseudo.
What about the connection with LifeLog? And you know, if LifeLog shuts down and Facebook started
on the same day,
wising up, you know, that maybe they don't really want to post all their stuff online now because of what's happening to, you know, the January 6th guys and blah blah blah.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing that you brought up. Most people don't, well, not the listeners out there, just a background. LifeLog was a CIA project to create DARPA. Basically DARPA. Was it DARPA or the CIA?
DARPA,
okay. DARPA. And a military program basically does what Facebook does. There is an organization out there that is in the Silicon Valley called, was it QIntel Pro? Is that the correct?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Which is a major capital funding organization, which is the CIA's capital funding. So when you look at the history of Facebook, and in this case, with most of them, if not all of them, Facebook had seed money from QIntelPro. Yeah. They developed Facebook the day Facebook came live. The project, which was almost a mirror but not as good as Facebook, that disappeared. And what was it called? LifeLog again? What was the name of the dark?
I think it was LifeBook. LifeBook.
Let me look it up really quick. We have, because of.
For sure.
Well, let's LifeLog. Use a little bit of that.
Hey, go ahead and use some of the other DARPA technology to check it out.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. You know, because. And that's the funny thing. Google's the same kind of thing, you know, where, again, out of nowhere, this company that was effectively just a search engine is now everything. They came together and dominated the market at an interesting time when DARPA was funding this kind of research. So, you know, well, just coincidentally.
This week, I stumbled across, it's still on YouTube. And I can send it out to the group. I don't know off the top of my head right now. But essentially, it was an insider into Amazon, the CIA, and he dealt with high-tech, basically, technology, such as voice-to-skull technology. But it was voice-to-skull technology taken to a higher level, to the DNA level, so they could identify the resonance of the DNA of a person. And then send out a broadcast wave, which is synchronized to that resonance. And once it links up, holy crikey, I'm not going to quote what he said, but what he said was amazing, because now you have a direct data link between a person's DNA and AI.
Yeah.
Interesting. It's just interesting advanced technology. That's why I've always said, if they were to take and just go and release the cutting edge technology of the dark technology right now and put it up with facts, this is true, this is what's going on, the majority of the population would not be able to have the cognizant, that's probably not the right word, the mental ability to accept what they're seeing is real. They would deny it, even though that's exactly what's happening today. I mean, the advanced technology, when you get into it, is such a deep wormhole, not even a rabbit hole, but man, it's fascinating.
Oh, I know. People thought I was crazy like 10 years ago when I was talking about the technology exists to, you know, pacify entire areas based on the grids that are already set up. They figured out a way to use the electrical grid to basically broadcast things. And they were like, oh, no, you're nuts, you know. We understand cell towers are a problem, but you're just imagining things. And I'm like, no, there's actually bits and pieces of DARPA research that's come out that, you know what, it doesn't. And this was part of my argument with the people who were like, long as I got my gun. And I'm like, yeah, what are you going to do against something that literally broadcasts a pacification, a resonant signal that disrupts everybody's brain in, you know, several miles? Within the range of this thing, you're all going to wear what, magneto helmets? Good luck.
There's no way to escape it. It sounds, probably to some listeners out there, what we're talking about sounds crazy, Alex Jones conspiracy theory, but this is old school technology. The first time I heard about voice to skull technology is during the first Gulf War back in the 90s, when we came in and it was the Iraq's something Royal Guard, like the best force they had. When we approached, they came out of their bunkers and surrendered. The reason why the hardest, most fierce force Saddam Hussein had came out and did that is because Allah told them to. Now, everybody, this sounds fascinating, it's the wrong word, but go out and research it. And this is absolutely true. That's when they were starting to experiment with voice-to-skull technology. So all these people, these Iraqi guards, they just beamed it into whatever they put in their head, convinced them that this is Allah talking to them, saying surrender. They had no way of differentiating because they had no knowledge of the existence of technology. We rolled up expecting this huge fight, and they came out with flags saying, Ed, we surrendered. Ara Toroso.
So, well, if you're,
interesting point of history.
If you're in a bunker with 100 guys and you all just heard Allah tell you to surrender.
Yes.
And you talk to each other for a minute and go, did you hear that? Did you hear that? Yeah. You might think, well, what is this? This must have happened. The guard, I forget the translation, but it's either the Republican Guard or the Guard of the Republic. Yes.
The Republican Guard, that was it.
Yeah, they were the elite troops that were supposed to be like directly his palace guards, his bodyguards, you know, like the elite. But they were the elites. And, that's exactly what they used. And that's why, you know, these guys were surrendering to everybody because that's what, you know, nobody revealed at the time. They had all received a message.
And the thing about it is that is technology that's 30-something years old, right? That's back in when we had Pentium 1s. That was pre-internet.
Yeah.
Think about with the advancement of technology and just apply Moore's law. What is in existence today? It's mind-boggling and crazy. It makes David Icke and Alex Jones actually look like prophets, even though they're not.
Yeah, I know. It's like I said a couple of years ago. You know, I stopped laughing at David Icke. You know, I'm not saying that I believe everything the guy says or, you know, I'm in line with all of his stuff and anybody who declares himself to be Jesus Christ, I'm really leery of. But frankly, some of the crazier stuff that he was talking about, I kind of go, well, maybe not so much. You know what I mean? Not so crazy. I mean, even the lizard people thing, I kind of go, eh.
Hey, that's I put that into religious beliefs. Think about it, you know, being a Christian, right? Mm-hmm. Think of it from an atheist standpoint. So you believe in a dude that was married who never got laid, that gave birth to a kid that was God, who died, came back 3 days later, walked on water, and turned water into wine? That's preposterous. So, you know, as far as his religious beliefs, and that's, you know, the lizards, I'm like, okay, that's his religious beliefs. But there's a lot of other things that he said and other people have said that when they said it, it was unbelievable, but now it's coming true. It's crazy, man. I don't know how to, I honestly sometimes don't know what to think about it.
Well, I'll tell you the truth. I predict in a couple of years that Star Wars will become a religion. Like, for real, not just, you know, this little clutch of people that now claim to be Jedis. There's actually a Jedi temple and all that, by the way, just so you guys know. But I really think that that could easily become a religion because, again, Anakin Skywalker is born of the midichlorians, okay? Yeah, kind of sounds the same, doesn't it? Yeah, he comes, he's just sort of created, and he's very special, and he's supposed to be restoring balance to everything, even though he's the bad guy in a certain sense and all that kind of stuff, doesn't matter. Yeah, I think you got the same sort of story built in there, and given enough time, I think somebody could turn that into a fairly sizable religion, and they just might do that. You know, and that's the story of Darth Vader, by the way, who then, you know, makes the change and goes through all kinds of stuff until he makes a grand gesture right before he dies and everything else. So, it's not the first time I've seen that story. And it's also not something that I see first in the Christian Bible. So, just saying, you could have a savior who's meant to restore balance to the entirety of the universe come into play that somebody takes from legend. It is possible. And, you know, you have earlier pantheons like Horus and all that, you know, the son of the sun and all this good stuff, and the light of the world and the Lamb of God, and many of these phrases having pre-existed the historical point in which Christianity comes into existence. And it just, it is a story that continues to resonate with people. So, you know, what's to say that in a couple of hundred years, there could not be the religion of the Jedi that is fairly sizable. If we last that long here on this planet, we'll see, huh? So,
I don't know.
No way. Never going to make it.
Never going to make it. Well, you know, the gay frogs will get you anyway. I had to do that.
You know what will make it, what will always exist, is the Jimmy James fan club.
Maybe a religion could be born of that.
we can make it happen. We can make it happen if we put our minds to it.
Could call your fan club members deity. Apostles. What?
I said, well, it's like calling shotgun. I call deity.
Oh, okay. So, okay. All right. Okay. Fair enough.
But who's the Pope? I mean, Jimmy James, we just went from a fan club to a full religion and gave him godhood. Lord, don't strike me down. It's just a joke. But how do we already go from here?
I think we need to go to cult status.
Well, that's what you do when your numbers are small. So, you know, we're already at cult status, right?
Oh, yeah, you have to go to
cult status. No, I mean, we need to start, but we need to start declaring beliefs and stuff like that so we can get on some government list.
Oh, you got to codify that. Yeah, you got to we need a codex that will describe the belief systems of the Jimmy James fans. Wow. Jimmy, you got some writing to do, man. You got to tell them what they believe in.
No, it's already written. Oh. If you're familiar with Postal 2, not only the game, but the movie, Dave Foley already wrote the book that I agree with.
Oh, okay.
It turns out Dave Foley, the Canadian comedian, it turns out at the end that he's the head of this big cult, and he wrote their book. Nice. And the guy said, you wrote these people a Bible, man? He says, yeah, I was stoned and on the can all night once. Had to kill time somehow.
Okay.
BP, and that's why you are Jimmy James. And that's why you have a fan club. That was brilliant.
Awesome. B-Pete, I have no idea what to do with this. So back to you.
Well, you know, we could, I guess we could go and settle some more Jimmy James fan club business while we're all here, but I don't know. Jimmy, what do you seem to think about that? Do you, Jimmy, are you going to take an active part in this, or you just want to be the pretty figurehead of the organization?
I'll start the anti-Jimmy James club.
Okay,
we haven't even gotten into this far enough, and you're already wanting to get an anti-club going. Okay.
I guess the haters of Jimmy James, that would be the best one, right?
I don't know. You shouldn't assume that there's haters out there. I haven't heard any derogatory Jimmy James scuttlebutt on the net, so.
See, that was the thing I was going to say. I don't know anybody who hates Jimmy James. Does anybody...
Exactly. I've not come across any kind of derision amongst the ranks.
I just found it funny that a guy mantra, was like, go ahead.
The whole mantra about I wouldn't be a member of any club that would have me as a member, you know.
Well, there's always that, but then that means that you can't join the haters either. I mean, you can't join. So, you know, that's fine. But it all started with this one guy who was reading me the riot act that I was interrupting Jimmy James. And I'm like, okay, you know, and I jokingly said, it's the Jimmy James fan club. It's this one guy who's, like, angry at me that I don't let Jimmy James say enough. And I was like, okay. I just... And it's just rolled from there. So I have not heard from a detractor yet. Not a single one. He's called into every radio show that we have on the network that's taken calls. No host has complained about him. No listener, not mine, not anybody else's, has complained about him. So I don't know. I don't know if there are any haters, Jimmy James. I don't know if you can really start the anti-Jimmy James fan club.
Oh, I'll work on it.
All right. All things are possible.
He's just looking for a tax write-off.
All things are possible through Jimmy James, so I guess we'll see. sorry. Had to go there. So anyway, BP, what else did we do, I mean, with this situation?
Well, I'm really at a loss. I would think Jimmy James would be more enthusiastic about the whole thing. I mean, he's gone from, you know, one fan to, you know, people clamoring for a place to hang out as Jimmy James fans. So I guess that, I don't know. Well, Nature Boy, you got to quit, you know, hitting us with these, you know, admissions at the beginning of the show.
I can't help it. It's just who I am, true. Brother.
Well, I'll tell you, we do have another caller. Maybe that'll change the equation. Maybe we have our first hater, or we have something else. You want to find out, BP?
Give it a go. Let's see.
All right. So, brand new caller, you're on the air. Are you wishing to start the Jimmy James hater movement, or do you have something else to add?
No, I don't. Jimmy James is all right in my book. I would never hate on that guy.
There you go. It sounds like you're at an underwater club. It sounds like you're.
He had brought up Postal too with Dave Foley, which is funny because Dave Foley was on news radio where he played a character that his boss that owned the radio station's name was Jimmy James, played by Stephen Root.
Well, see, it all circled around somehow. I didn't even think of that.
Synchronicity. Listen, man, it sounds like you're near a club that's underwater. What's that? What's that all about?
That would be called Interstate 95.
Ah, another part of 95. We were talking about I-95 earlier. So there you go.
So anyway, I missed the first half of the show. What happened? I thought we were supposed to have like a trial or a debate club tonight or something. Remember, there's different sides and then debates going on or something.
Well, there was going to be a debate, and Glenn Bikland didn't show up, so no debate.
Oh, okay. So he had to rearrange the sock drawer.
Well, no, we were just discussing the Jimmy James fan club, what to do there. Jimmy
started that, by the way?
Who started it? As I said, a guy who wrote to me, giving me problems that I wasn't letting Jimmy James speak enough, and he was writing like several paragraphs complaining to me that I didn't let him talk on one of the shows. And I was like, dude, sorry. And he wrote back like another long email, and at the end of that, I responded with, "Well, I guess you're the the Jimmy James fan club has spoken." And then I brought it up on the show, and next thing I know, a guy on Facebook in Scotland was saying he wants to really organize it, and other people have said they want to join. Now we have he's got more fans than I do. So there you go.
The whole thing has just snowballed.
It has. And now Jimmy James wants to start the anti-Jimmy James fan club, and he didn't like Jimmy James and the Blue Flames because, that was a whole discussion you might have missed. But I brought that up because of Jimi Hendrix's early band, right? And, so...
It sounds like a Tommy James thing.
Yeah, but it was literally Jimi Hendrix had Jimmy James and the Blue Flames. That was one of his bands early on. I think it might have been his first.
Remember.
Yeah. So, and I couldn't remember if it was...
It just reminded me of the Tommy James thing with Needles and Pins and Crimson and Clover and all that.
I don't know, man. I'm at a loss now. I don't know what to do except to say if somebody starts the Facebook group, they'll get to name the fan club. All you got to do is start the Jimmy James group on Facebook and you can name the fan club. So there you go, and I've already promised that I will join it and promote it. So... What else can I do?
I'm not sure. But I did want to ask one thing, though.
Yeah.
Does anyone think that there should be a Jaws 5? And I would love to see one where there's a whole school of sharks attack. What would the panel think of that?
Okay, so Jaws 5 with multiple sharks, like maybe 5 sharks all together, or you want a Sharknado? What do you want?
I was going to say, after Sharknado, I think, they've kind of jumped the shark on
sharks.
I don't know if there's ever going back.
They've jumped the shark on sharks. Nice.
Pretty much.
Does anybody watch Shark Week anymore? I don't know. Is that still a thing? Remember that was a thing?
It's still a
thing. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it's still a thing, slow, but...
Right? 2 visits once a month?
I don't know.
Shark Week.
Let's find out when exactly Shark Week is. It's still around. It's just not as popular as it once was.
I got BP looking up all kinds of stuff tonight. Time zones, Shark Week.
Caramelized onions.
Of course, everybody knows where jumping the shark came from, right?
Shark Week starts in August.
Hey, of course.
Arthur Fonzarelli.
Go ahead, VP. Yeah.
Arthur Fonzarelli.
That's true. But VP, you were saying when it starts?
It says here Shark Week was in 2022 was May 9th.
Oh.
But I don't remember seeing Discovery running anything.
Totally missed it.
I think it's August 9th. Yeah. August 9th.
Shark Week makes me horny.
There is one of those things we need to add to the, I don't know, what would we call it? The books over there at the Jimmy James Fan Club. Shark Week makes him horny. Let's remember that. I don't know why, but I think we should.
I read the book, Jaws, when it first came out, and I was sorely disappointed in the movie, pretty much. But
really?
I don't know anybody else who read the book.
I think they should just totally do a whole new remake, like just a new Jaws. Like, they do everything out. Why not?
Did you ever read The Beast, which was Peter Benchley's other book about the killer squid or whatever? They made a TV movie of it. It was kind of bad, but the novel was all right.
No, I didn't read that one.
I don't even know people that read the book Jaws, I think. I don't know. Outside of Vance, I guess.
Really?
There was a lot of stuff in there they didn't even include in the storyline in the movie. Where
Like Matt Hooper is having an affair with Brody's wife.
Brody's wife, and
the mob relations with the town.
The best part of the book that stands out during the book when they're, Brady and his wife are having marital problems because he's off hunting sharks, and you know she's sort of, neglected, and so you know Hooper's this charismatic guy, and you know blah blah blah, and so he goes to the bathroom. Brady goes to the bathroom in the middle of the night, and she thinks she's sleeping, and he goes to the bathroom and pees, and he's coming back to bed, and she like raises up and says, didn't your mother teach you to wash your hands after you used the restroom? And he's like stops, and he's like stunned, you know, like I thought she was asleep, and then his response was, my mother taught me not to pee on my hands. that would have made the movie if they'd have put that.
Yeah, really, Dreyfuss is doing that.
Well, that reminds me, and there was
one of my favorite movies.
That reminds me, there was a scene about the in a movie, and I can't remember the name of the movie, but it was all about the Rumble in the Jungle, right? And Don King is trying to make a deal, and he's in a bathroom at a certain point, and he goes to shake somebody's hand after using the urinal, and the guy goes, oh, aren't you going to wash your hands first? And he goes, oh, no, I wash my hands before I touch my dick. I always thought that was hilarious. Anyway... Now that we're all done with that, we're down to the last few minutes, so I guess we should get the final thoughts from everybody, because we got four callers all together, BP. So we got we started with Jimmy James, we got Vance next, we got Nature Boy after that, and then our friend Chris here joined us with the rump-shaking beat behind him somehow. So, because I'm that to
well,
me,
we'll go in reverse order. Let's start with Chris. Any final thoughts? Take us into the weekend.
Yeah, just remember, just because you might think they're not, screwed it up. God. No, I just say, just watch the movie Duel from 1971. Very good movie. Peace.
There you go.
All righty. Nature Boy. Yeah. How about you, Nature Boy? Give us something to take us into the weekend.
Well, it feels good to finally come out of the closet. I'm a full-fledged member of the Jimmy James fan club,
you know,
no matter what it's
mighty brave of you. You know, we're proud of you for being able to... I'm glad that we have given you an environment that you felt comfortable enough to share with us.
So now we have Jimmy James pride.
There's
I think we should make a parade out of that one.
There's a name for the fan club.
Maybe.
All right.
I don't care for that.
Nah, I didn't think you would.
Yeah. But other than that, I want to thank you all for really hanging out, letting me be part of it. It made my night. I got a smile from ear to ear. Had a great time. And also, support Chuck O'Chelly. I know things are getting hard. I've had to cut my budget back big time. With gas, with food, all the things. But the one thing that I still have kept and will keep is my monthly membership to O'Chelly.com. So, Chuck, you're my man. I'll give up Netflix before I'll give up you. Thank you for what you're doing, and thanks for the perseverance, bro. So that's about it. Everybody have a good weekend. Party on, Wayne. Party on, Garth. And we'll see you next week, maybe.
There you go.
All right, Nature Boy. That sounds great. And now that you're out of the closet, we can get the thing steam cleaned and get it back in shape with some damp bread put in there. And we'll be good to go for the next individual. So
ain't no steam. There's no steam in the world that will remove that stain. But thank you, BP, for the cinnamon.
Wow.
Hey, we're looking out for you. Vance, any parting words?
Hey, if Chris is still online, I'm just going to give out my email, and I'd like to send him some stuff on the Boston bombing I'd like to discuss with him. So horseboy61@gmail. So if Chris hears that. And other than that, y'all have a good weekend. Stay out of the heat, and we'll do it next week.
All right, sounds good. I guess that leaves us with the man with the fan, Jimmy James.
Oh, thanks for that. Joining up, Nature Boy. That's a morale booster.
Anything I can help, my friend.
We got to do better here financially, help Chuck, quite frankly. So if you aren't donating and subscribing and can, you really need to pony up.
It's amazing what $5 a month will do. That's it, a cup of coffee.
That's it. And it's so many, you think, oh, it's so little money, what good will it do? Well, if a bunch of people do it, it'll do them a lot of good. Mm-hmm.
Jimmy James, the reality is, if I had a dollar for every listener, I wouldn't ask for another donation. It's just that simple. I wouldn't need it. I would be doing just fine.
A dollar a listener, yeah. You'd be living on that mansion on the hill, my friend.
Well, I don't know if I'd go that far, but I'll tell you this: I wouldn't be sweating over anything that I do as it stands, even with the increases in prices and stuff. I'd be just fine at a dollar a listener, but even half of my listeners at a dollar a piece a month, I'd be able to expand operations even. But unfortunately, I know how it is, so here we stand. Anyways, I thank you for that, Jimmy James. I really do. B. Pete, that kind of leaves you, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, I guess. Nobody else hiding there on the phone line. So I'd just like to say glad we got together this week. Looking forward to getting together next week. Everybody go to ocelli.com, hit the donate button, do what you can. Every little bit helps. And see if we can't pick up the pace of things here. But other than that, support your local food banks. It's tough out there. People are really hitting their food banks and food baskets. Do what you can to donate. You know, a can of beans when you go shopping. Pick up an extra this, an extra that. Every little bit helps. So let's look out for each other. Things are going to get rough, but we can get through it.
There you go. And frankly, look, I had to hit one of the food banks recently. And I got to tell you that they were apologetic because they're having to strip down some of what it was they were providing for people because everything is getting slim. That's the reality of it. Of course, I made a couple of trades with people who didn't know how to deal with certain raw things and ended up with a little bit of a better box than I would have started with. But it's thin here in Georgia, which means I imagine it's thin in a lot of places. So yeah, everybody needs a little bit of help, and if you got something a little bit more than what you need, a good deed is always a good deed, you know? So, B. Pete, anything else, though? Because we do have, like, another minute, and then we're going to have to close it out and go over to Aaron.
Well, no, I'd just like to, you know, tell all the podcast listeners and those that do catch us live that we really appreciate them being here every week. I mean, it gives us something to look forward to. And I know a lot of times here on Friday nights, we don't get anything solved. We don't talk about anything serious, but we have a good time. And that's all that's important. So, you know, support the other shows. Chuck's got a great lineup out there for the week. Not only his shows, but Aaron coming up after us. Bob on the weekends. It's all good. Good listening, and I take advantage of it when I'm at work during the day, and I'll cut the podcasts on Bluetooth and follow them that way. So, you know, there's always something out there for everybody on this network. That's the great thing about it. I'm glad to see Christy in the room tonight. Hope she's doing well. Enjoy listening to her show. So, Chuck's got a good thing going. Let's keep it going.
There you have it. And look, yeah, Christy is on Tuesdays. We're trying to do what it is we can to provide you with a lot of things. And sometimes, you know what, it's just good to shoot the breeze and laugh a little, too. It's healthy. Okay, guys? Anyways, that's it. The Ocelli Effect is done for tonight and for the week. So remember this, I am merely Ocelli, and all of you are indeed the effect. Thank you so much for everybody who called in tonight. Vance, Jimmy James, Nature Boy, of course, Chris, and thank you especially to my co-host, V. Pete, who, quite frankly, makes it work here on Friday nights for sure. And thank all of you for listening.
Support Chuck O'Chili at chili.com.
There's no money in it, so
yeah, that is
that's the problem.
That's the biggest problem, I think. And you know, some people would say that look, you're in an age when you can be independently supported, but quite frankly, I'm on that business model too. And look, I'm not going to complain, but I'm going to complain, okay? Because people want to support you, they love you to death, but honestly,
so if you're listening in, this is a very unsubtle request to support the damn show, and I want you to do this too, because you know, the O'Chili Report is one of the few places where Greg Palast can get his the stuff out. I mean, you'll still see my bylines in some of these outlets, but nevertheless, I used to be a regular on CNN and on MSDNC, but no more.
Revelation through conversation.
O'Chili.com.